And turn with me to St. Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 19 and other portions throughout the Bible. I want you to note the little title that I have chosen this Sunday for the message, The Tragedy. And it is a tragedy of living among the easy. And perhaps that's where you find yourself this morning. And if so, we would like to challenge you. And notice the words found in our text. Verse 19. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The Word of God makes use of the term ease some 19 times. And most often it is used as a symbol to describe the softness and the complacency and the comfortableness by which scores of Christians live their lives. It characterizes a state of living that is sterile, static, and sluggish, for which God has no use. God's attitude for Christian living and Christian commitment is that it should be dynamic and disciplined and dedicated. The word that should describe your life and my life is involvement. Each and every one of us, if we are Christians, we ought to be involved. Listen to the severe criticism that Christ had for a group of Christians at Laodicea whose lives were sickeningly lukewarm. He said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, he said, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's what Jesus said. And here the Lord exhibits his disgust for moderately warm Christian living. In other words, those of us who have somewhat of a smug complacency for the things of God. Now, in the message this morning, I want us to look at four different Bible verses where the word ease is used in various situations. And in each case where it is used, we find that the judgment of God is put upon it. It's a very interesting study. First of all, I want you to think of the ease of being disgracefully stagnant. And notice the word that I use, disgracefully stagnant. When my little son, Jeff, was about 4 years of age, Ellie and I would go grocery shopping. And while she was in getting the groceries, I would take Jeff throughout the woods and we'd take a little trip. We did this almost every week. And one day we came across a little pond, and the pond was stagnant. It was not flowing. It was not active. It was dull, and a foul smell. You could smell it from lack of water running in and running out. And as a matter of fact, it was the first word that Jeff really learned, the word that we're using here, stagnant. And I can remember we went over that word again and again and again. Disgracefully stagnant. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11? There in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 48, verse 11. It's an interesting little verse. It's tucked away there, but once again, it's one of the verses where the word ease is used. And it says this, Moab has been at ease from his youth. Moab has been at ease from his youth. Now here the Moabites, descendants of Lot, lived at ease and alone in their prosperity. And from the earliest days as a nation, They were prosperous, fortified, and wealthy. And they filled their coffers with the things of the world as they continued to plot against God's people, Israel. And at ease in their prosperity, they lived in carnality. And they did not change. They remained secured in their sins and complacent towards the things of God which really mattered. So Jeremiah the prophet proclaimed a message of doom upon a people that were disgracefully stagnant. Listen to what Jeremiah says in verse 12 there in your Bibles. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I shall send him wine workers who will tip him over and empty his vessels and break the bottles. And then we read in verse 16 these words, the calamity of Moab is near at hand, and his affliction comes quickly. And this prophecy later became true as the Moabites were defeated by Babylon. So a country that was at ease in their prosperity and lived after the flesh was completely demolished by God. You know, at this time, I would just like to inject that this is happening in America. God puts up these moral stop signs, and yet we as a nation, we're just going right through them. We really don't care about the Ten Commandments. We break them at will. We set our own standards of morality. And America is going in a downward direction. And we need to realize that we better wake up or we're going to perish. Just like the nations of old. Disgracefully stagnant. Or we could turn from a country and we can go to a child. A child who is left alone from childhood to their own selfish and sinful ways. They receive no discipline, no instruction, no correction from their parents. And where does it get that child? Well, he becomes a misfit in society. He's lazy, flippant, self-serving, wanting their own way. You and I have known people like that. I want to tell you this morning as Christian parents, you better start early if you want to escape the heartache and the anxiety and the shamefulness of some of our young people that are growing up. You better lay down that discipline early in their lives and let them know their responsibility and their accountability. And if they aren't willing to live up to the standards, there must be punishment. You can find that in children today, even among Christian homes. Disgraceful stagnation in a country, in a child, or it can even happen in a church. Churches become exposed to the peril of tradition. Because a certain thing has been done a certain way for many years, we just can't change. We worship at the shrine of tradition. When I was at Northwestern College many years ago, I took a course on the history of revivals and evangelism, both in America and in England. And during those days, I can remember reading the illustration of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. He was the great evangelist of the 18th century, who began to start preaching in open-air meetings, believing that he could reach more sinners outside of the church. He broke with tradition, and he started to preach to crowds outside of the building. The churchmen of his day objected. They said it wasn't dignified. It was irreverent. It was too sensational. And then his own church, his father's church, they closed the door. They didn't allow him to preach within the sanctuary. So what did he do? He preached from a tombstone in the church graveyard. And this founder of the Methodist Church was not willing to be stagnant and inactive in using different methods in reaching lost sinners with the gospel of Christ. You know, you might not even realize it in your life. You profess to be a Christian. You say you accepted Christ as your Savior. And yet somewhere along the line, this disgraceful stagnation comes into your life and you just tread water. And weeks go by and years go by and that's how you live. You're stagnated. Not real growth. You don't necessarily go backwards, but you don't go forwards. Just stagnation. The ease by which the Moabites live their lives. This can happen. You ought to watch out, because it's happening to a lot of Christians. Well, let's look at it from a different viewpoint. In the second place, think of the ease of being despisingly scornful. Let's turn to Psalm 123. And I want you to note, once again, the use of the word found in verse 4. The psalmist declares, in Psalm 123, verse 4, "Our soul is exceedingly filled with a scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud." The New American Standard puts it this way: "Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud." Now, the word ease here in this context literally means to be recklessly and callously at ease. Such contempt comes from those who sit in their ivory towers, scoffing and mocking those who are actively involved in the work and the welfare of the church. While others are doing it, they're scoffing. You know, it's a lot easier to scoff and ridicule and judge and sneer at the work and goodness of others than to face up sometimes to our own laziness and evilness. There are those that are always finding fault. While others are working hard, the tragedy is they're living among these. And this is most difficult for some of us who are Christians, who are actively involved in the work of the church. It's hard to have some people that are not doing anything do all of the complaining while you are really burning out for the Lord. I've gone through that. I'm sure you have. And yet we need to take comfort to remember that our precious Savior himself was despised and rejected, and yet he continued faithfully to serve his heavenly Father. Remember what it says over there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. "Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself who judges righteously." Maybe you might be working your heart out, and there's a lot of criticism. Well, the answer to that is just keep working. Just keep doing what God has called you to do. Keep your eyes on the fact that the Christ is coming again, and one day you're going to be rewarded for your diligent faithfulness. See, you and I have a choice. We can easy go with those who live their lives in that word easy. Or we can say, no, I'm not going to go in that direction. I'm going to live my life and be actively involved in what God would have me to do. Someone has said, "So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. So whatever your work in the church or you're doing for Jesus, keep doing it. Don't turn back. Don't allow yourself to live among the easy, because you're going to miss the blessing if you do. The easy, the ease of being disgracefully stagnant, the ease of being displeasingly scornful. Well, let's go to our text this morning as found in Luke chapter 12, verse 19. And there we have the ease of being displeasingly scornful, the ease of being despairingly sensual. Notice the words of the rich fool and what he declared. Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now here we have a wealthy farmer whose attitude was that he would have an easy life. He had everything he could ever want or ever need. In order for the disciples to learn a lesson from what Jesus was talking about, he sets forth the truth that life is more than the accumulation of things. So what did Jesus do? He told the story of this rich man who had a faulty idea of prosperity. He judged success by his bulging barns, his fertile fields, and his bumper crops. He tried to satisfy his body, make all the money that he could. But he forgot his soul, and time finally ran out on him, and he died that very night. And I want you to know that because he only lived for things and for this life, take thine ease, that Jesus called him a fool. And yet in these United States, at this present time, we have thousands of our citizens who are in the rat race of trying to keep up with their neighbors. They try to accumulate as much wealth as possible. And yet in striving for the sensual things for the body, we Americans have neglected the spiritual things of the soul. Think of it this morning. We have the highest income in the world. And yet, where has it gotten us? We have more of the things of life in America than any other country. And yet, look at this materialistic way of living. At this very moment, in these United States, we have more crimes being committed, we have more divorces, more child delinquency, more mental breakdowns, more drug addictions, more alcoholics, and more suicides than any nation in the history of the world. Just take it easy. Live your own life. And in our ease for the sensual and the sinful things of life, God looks down from heaven, and you know what? He calls us fools. We've missed out. And he is forever warning us that there's coming a day when we will be judged by the way that we presently are wasting our lives. Ease. Is that how you're living your life? Well, let's go to a fourth place in the Bible where the ease of being disgustingly spiritual. Turn with me to Amos. Chapter 6, verse 1. I think you can find it right there in the Minor Prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos. And the prophet cries out, Amos was only a shepherd, but God called him to pronounce judgment upon Israel. And notice what he says there. It's an interesting verse. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. The NIV renders it, Woe to you who are complacent in Zion. The New Living Translation is a little more descriptive when it's rendered this way: how terrible it will be for you who lounge in luxury and think you are secure in Jerusalem. And here Amos the prophet gives a sharp rebuke against Israel and Judah for their selfishness and their spiritual complacency toward God and His work. Imagine those words there: lounging in luxury. And notice it took place in Jerusalem, the very place where the temple was located and the people of God resided. Ease, lounging in luxury in Jerusalem. They had their great wealth. They had their comfortable lives. They became secure. And then all of a sudden, this spiritual indifference settled upon them. Notice what Amos cries out in verse 4. How terrible it will be for you who sprawl on ivory beds surrounded with luxury, eating the meat of tender lambs and choice calves. And there in their pride, and there in their security and sensuality, they thought that they would be sheltered here in Jerusalem from God's judgment. And yet they weren't. Right at Jerusalem. Now bring this over into the 21st century. How many of us this morning who profess to be Christians are taking it too easy when it comes to certain aspects of our Christian discipleship? And they lived in ease. How can we live at ease as Christians in the 21st century? Well, many of us are taking it too easy with respect to our devotional life. It would be quite interesting this morning to find out, if we wanted to have you raise your hand and find out if you were faithful in your devotions, if you had Bible reading before you came to church this morning, if you spent time in prayer, and how much time did you give to the Lord this past week in your devotional life, in Bible reading and prayer. The Apostle Paul commands Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. In other words, he's telling us that we ought to be in an attitude of prayer constantly, any time during the day. Or have you and I found out that we're just taking it easy when it comes to praying? Peter exhorts in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Bible reading. Or what does the writer of Hebrews say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. You see, my friend, when it comes to these spiritual disciplines, praying, Bible reading, church attendance, a vast number of Christians have become tragically irregular, undisciplined, uncaring for these spiritual exercises. And the key word that characterizes our lives is this: ease. I'm literally appalled at church attendance with some Christians. Literally appalled. We profess to be Christians, this is God's day, and my wife's sick, so the husband's got to stay at home. Where did that ever start? I can understand if it's a sickness unto death. This is Sunday that belongs to the Lord. We ought to be here 52 times a year, unless there's some sickness that will keep us away. And that time will come. We aren't always going to be robust and physically fit. But this is God's day. And yet we've fallen into the tragedy of living among the ease. Just take it easy. I submit this morning that you cannot get along without Bible reading and prayer and the church if you really mean business with God. Many of us are taking it too easy with respect to our devotional life. Let me follow that up by saying that many of us are taking it too easy regarding our witnessing life. Remember the words of the living Christ when he said in John chapter 15, verse 16, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That's what the risen Christ said. Or consider these words of Jesus, you shall be witnesses unto me. Every day we Christians are in contact with scores of people who have never received the gospel. They haven't the slightest idea of what it means to be a Christian. And yet the sad fact happens to be that many of us are doing very little in our effort to reach them for Christ. The problem with a vast majority of believers is that they have joined the cult of the comfortable. They like to sit back in their ease. And they would let the world go to hell if it's just going to inconvenience them for the gospel's sake. They would willingly and with enthusiasm give their support to some program outside of the church, but when you ask them to work in junior church or the nursery or some other program within the church, they give you all of these different reasons why it cannot be done. Even for the sake of the crucified Christ, many will not put themselves out of the comfort zone. This is where I got to live. I just want to find my ease. Let someone else do it. Or we could follow that up. Many of us are taking it too easy with respect to our service life. Remember, it was the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, who declared, if anyone serves me, him will my Father honor. Serving Jesus. And you know, there are many different ways that you and I may get out of the easy zone and onto the firing line in our service for Christ. It might even be just by the passing out of a tract, giving a Christian book to an unsaved friend, extending an invitation to a lost person to attend church. When was the last time that you used your automobile just to invite someone to come to church? All of the thousands of young people in the area, or people that you know where you live beside. Invite someone to lunch or to dinner. Make a meal for someone just out of the hospital. Drive someone to a doctor's appointment. Send a sympathy card to a person in sorrow. To this list could be added 100. 1,000 more different ways that we could serve the Lord. All I'm doing this morning is throwing out the challenge. Some of you will pick it up, and some of you won't, because the tragedy of just living among the ease. It's time, I say, for you to leave the easy road you have been traveling as a Christian and get on the highway of spiritual commitment and involvement. Can you imagine this morning what would happen if every single person who professes to be part of this family fellowship would say, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to find a task that I'm going to do for the glory of God? That would, first of all, alleviate some of those members who are overcommitted. It would. They were at ease in Zion. It's almost like saying they were at ease in the church of God, the ecclesia. Now, I believe after all these years of being in the ministry, that we're one team, and there's really no difference between clergy and laity. We're just servants together in the proclamation of the gospel. And we've all got to find our niche and use it and find our gift that God has given to us. Now, there's not a single person here this morning who doesn't have a gift. And that gift has been bestowed on you by the Spirit of the living God. Now, you can abuse it and misuse it, and the body is going to suffer. Or you can say, that's my gift, and I'm going to find out where I can be actively involved, and I'm going to make myself available. And that would be a wonderful thing. Why is it that there are some who are constantly making themselves available? Constantly. I remember some years ago when we had an older member, Ruth Marathew, and at that time we needed a Sunday school teacher. And here she was in the sunset of her life. And we all remember Ruth and her gifts. This church was packed when I had her funeral. But that Sunday she came forward and she said, Pastor Reg, if you can't find somebody, I'll do it. And I knew she couldn't do it because of her physical ailments. But she was willing. And in reality, that's where it comes down to. Why do some make themselves available and others don't? Because of attitude. They just do it. And it gets done. Now that's an interesting word that we've been looking at this morning. It wasn't easy to get a message like this. The tragedy of living among the easy. And I close with this. It is a tragedy. Because the tragic thing is, one day you're going to stand before a righteous and a holy God. Oh yeah, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But when we stand before the bema seat of Christ, some of us are not going to get those rewards that God would have us to receive. And look, you're going to be a missing Christian. And you don't want that to happen. So if you happen to be one, or maybe there's no one, but if you happen to be one here this morning, and you are finding yourself maybe not even realizing it, you're just drifting, and you're drifting, and you're drifting right into that, the ease. And you come to church, yes, I see you once in a while, but I don't see you involved. I don't see you active. I don't see you being helpful. Then you need to move out of that area into the area of saying, I'm going to give everything to Jesus Christ. I'm going to give my talents. I'm going to give my time. And I'm going to give my tithe to the work of the kingdom. And I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. And those who want to be at ease in Zion, they can be. And they can be critical and they can criticize, but I'm just going to put my hand to the plow and I'm going to be the best deacon and I'm going to be the best trustee and I'm going to be the best Sunday school teacher. And when I'm talking about this now, I'm talking about Sunday school teachers that are studying and preparing when they go into that classroom. I'm not talking about pastors at the last moment getting up here in the pulpit and without any preparation. You know what happens when a pastor does that? We need to make sure that whatever we do for the glory of God, that we do it 100%. We give our best. And that's what he asked for. And by the way, he doesn't ask for anything less than that. And if you think you're just getting by in Christian service, it's a mistake. Because Jesus Christ wants the best that you and I can give him. And by by all means, we should give him the best. You know why? Because he was willing to die on that cross for you and for me. And we should have been there. So the tragedy of living among the ease. May God's Spirit take the words and use them for our spiritual growth. Shall we pray?